welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
So good to be here. So many exciting things happening in church. We've got babies, we've got missionaries, got engagements, so exciting, another marriage. Very lovely to see everyone here and all the good things happening. Good to see Noah back in church. Yeah, had a little accident there, a little bit of an aggressive basketball player, but you'll get healed, it'll be good. Praise the Lord. So we are complete, is it the last one today, our series on the good news? Wow, it's been fantastic. What great news we have. And today I am talking about sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So we have heard what the work that Jesus did on the cross. Hopefully we have all responded and said yes to Jesus. And at that very moment, God has done so many things in our life, including making us holy in his sight. Before God, we are holy. We are his beautiful children already. But we still sin, don't we, Byron? Yeah? I'll speak for you too, darling. I can tell you, I live with you, but we're still sin. So what's that all about? We're sanctified, we're holy in God's sight, but we're still sinners. We're like a diamond in the rough, aren't we? A diamond's a diamond. Although these days they make them for you, but you can dig them out of the ground and they look rough and you have to polish them, you have to make them beautiful, you have to cut them and turn them into the diamonds that we love to wear. And that's what we're like. We are beautiful, precious, chosen children of God, diamonds. Very, very, very precious. But there's some cleaning up that needs to be done. There's some polishing. And so that's what sanctification means, from the Latin word sanctus, which means holy. It means the process of releasing that holiness, if you like. The process of basically getting good. We need to get good. We need to become like Jesus. It's not enough to just be saved and then go, all right, that's it. I'm good now. It's like, you are. But there's a long process now, actually a lifetime process of becoming like Jesus. And sanctify, something that's holy is set apart. The Bible would say something's holy, it's set apart for a special purpose. So as we become more like Jesus and more holy, we find out this special purpose that God has chosen for us. So it's very exciting. And holiness, the Bible talks about the beauty of holiness. Being holy is incredibly beautiful. The most attractive, the most dynamic people you've ever met are the holiest ones. You just want to be with them. I'm not talking about sort of some weird religious sort of spirits. There can be sort of a religious vibe, sort of a fake holiness. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about genuine, dynamic, beautiful, life-giving, exciting holiness. It's so awesome. And holy people are incredibly attractive. And the holier you become, the more attractive you are to people who love God. I love meeting holy people. I'm just like, I just want to be with them all the time. I'm like, oh, there's something there. I just love them. And you'll find as you become more holy, the reactions to you are more extreme. Because the Bible says that darkness hates the light. So some people will love you more and just want to learn from you and say very nice things to you. But other people will hate you more. And they don't even know. There's like something about because they're dark. So the reactions become extreme. So that's sanctification. That's our goal. Who sanctifies us? Only God. Only God. Only God can transform us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prays, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you, make you holy completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul prays that this work would go on in our lives and that we would be transformed. Like the classic image, of course, is the butterfly, you know, from a grub to a butterfly. What a transformation. Like what an amazing, they're just, you can hardly believe that those little, you know, little grubby, thick, scary things you sometimes get on you. That little grub becomes this beautiful butterfly and so light and able to fly. How amazing, able to fly and so stunning. And that's the transformation that God wants for us. We're all grubs in one way or another, aren't we? Grubs. But God wants us to be transformed and beautiful. And he will do this work in us. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He's not going to stop working on you. He's going to keep working on you until the day of Christ. Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So sanctification, becoming holy, it's growing in God. It's becoming a mature Christian as opposed to a baby Christian. It's releasing the righteousness that is now resident in us from Jesus, because Jesus is in us when we're born again, and we need to allow him to work through us. We need to allow his words to come through us. It's the Holy Spirit changing our habits, changing our behaviors, changing our language. It's renewing our mind, so now we're thinking like Jesus. Renewing our tongue so that we talk like Jesus. And it's learning to serve and others so that we act like Jesus. It's actually becoming Christ-like. That's what we're called to. That's the holiness we're called to. So complete holiness, we'll never get there. We're never going to quite hit the ultimate perfection. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. So we'll never reach complete perfection until we see him face to face. Only then will we realize how far we have to come. I think we'll be awestruck by the incredible holiness of God and how amazing he is. And then we can become like him. But in the meantime, it's a journey and we enjoy the journey. Chris and I heard someone the other day said that they grew up in church, but then they just thought, oh, what's the point of being a Christian? You know, we're never going to reach perfection. Why are we asked to live this perfect life if it's impossible? It's like, because it's a great journey. We enjoy the journey. It's not... The whole journey is exciting. It's exciting to grow. It's one step at a time, God showing us. And step by step, it's like climbing the mountain. You know, we enjoy the journey. We can look back and look at the view and think, wow, I didn't think I could get this far, but here I am. And then we can go a bit further. And then you think, wow, I never thought I'd be this person is. You literally notice that you're different, don't you? Like it's quite exciting. I can literally say, I am not that person anymore. Like you think back to who you were. I mean, if you've been around for a while like me, you think, wow, I'm just not like that anymore. That's different. But I couldn't do it myself. He's done it. And it's been an exciting journey. So we need to really enjoy the journey and enjoy the process of becoming like Jesus and becoming perfect. So the issue is that we can actually stop God from doing this work. He is always going to work. He's always going to work with us and try. But that free will thing, even after we're saved, even after we've said yes to Jesus, we can stop the growth. We can stop it. And what a tremendously sad thing it is to see a stunted, deformed, malnourished Christian. It is very sad, and they do exist, and it's frustrating for us all. And so I don't want anyone in this church to be one of those stunted Christians, deformed Christians, malnourished. It's like, what are you doing? Even Paul said in the Bible to the Galatians, I think, by now I should be teaching you something a little bit more hard, but I've got to go back to basics. It's like, you know, he called them fools, you foolish Galatians. That was the introduction to the Galatians. You fools, you idiots. Why are you doing this? Why aren't you letting God work in you? Why aren't you growing? Why would you want to stay young? I mean, just meet a 2- and a 3-year-old, 4-year-old. What do they say? I'm 4, but I'm nearly 5. I'm going to be 5 soon. I'm going to be 6. I'm going to be 6. Oh, wow, you're not going to be 6. Kids just love getting older, don't they? They're constantly looking up to the big kids and thinking, I can be like that. You know, I get my hair done like that. And I can act. There's an instinctive desire in children to grow, even though they're cute. You know, we think they're really cute. It's like, no, stay 4, it's so cute. But they do grow and they want to grow. And it's right that they grow, because if they don't grow, well, that's a problem. There's something wrong there. We need to sort that out. So we have the same desire. It's like, we want to grow. I don't want to be one of these young, weak, immature Christians. I want to be one of the noble ones. I want to be up there. I want to be doing something great for God. So we have to cooperate with God. And I suppose there's a lot of things that stop us from growing, but I've identified 2 key issues that can really stunt our growth as Christians. One of them is pride, and the other one is laziness. So let's have a little look at those ones. Pride prevents the Holy Spirit from growing in us. Pride stunts growth, because pride will say, no, I'm okay. No, I'm fine. I don't need that. Whether we sound proud or not, God knows there's pride in our hearts sometimes, and it's a shocker. So instead of pride, we need to be humble. Just, the Bible says, humble yourself before God. Just yield, be humble, yield to God, yield to where he puts us, yield to what he wants us to do. There's a humility in that, because what we're really saying is, no, I can't make myself grow. I can't change. I can't be everything I want to be. I've tried. So it's like, okay, God, how am I going to do this? And of course, he starts by planting us in a church, putting us in a good church so that we can grow, just like that beautiful tree, that olive tree that's flourishing out there, nicely planted. Remember the poor old gum tree? Now, the gum tree flourished for a little while. You had a gum tree in there before, if anyone doesn't know. And it flourished and it was so lovely. It was so beautiful. And we were all so happy. Yay, lovely gum tree. And then gum tree started to get like rather sick looking and sad looking. We're like, what's going on with the gum tree? Turned out that underneath the gum tree, the soil under there inside of that old well was just full of concrete and rocks. And we didn't dig out the ground well enough. So Gumtree had to go, and then we got stuck in and we really got in there with the soil and we dug out the ground and we made the soil healthy. We got rid of a lot of rocks and we made it healthy. We also found out the right tree for that spot. I mean, there was a lot of things to do. And we had to do that for the tree. The tree didn't know about these things. But once we planted that tree in the right spot with the right soil, it was able to thrive. And one day, it takes a little while with olive trees, but one day we will see some olives there. They're slow growers. But that's just exactly what God wants with us, and that's where we have to submit. God wants to put us in the right position. He wants us in the right place where there's healthy soil and healthy water and sun, and we can thrive and become fruitful. And, you know, you don't have to strive to be fruitful, do you? You don't have to sort of, you know, the tree's not going, push out that orange. It's just in the right place, the fruit will come naturally. And that's part of yielding to God and being just allowing him to make us grow in the right place, in the right church, with the right partner, with the right everything. And he shows us. It's not hard. And then it's just yielding to God on a regular basis, just constantly, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's all going to come, but we'll find that God tests us. Sometimes he puts us in a position where we have to allow that fruit to come forth. And if you can do that, rather than get annoyed, let it out, That's where the growth comes. And it's sometimes, it's every day. It's just a step. I mean, I went to a hairdresser yesterday. And I was so blessed. I was given this gift to go to the hairdresser and have this fabulous massage. And it wasn't for a cut. It was just for a blessing time. Bethany wanted to bless me. And it was so sweet. Mother-daughter time. Get our hair done. And the massage, hot rocks, you know, the whole treatment. I thought, lovely, yes. So I had an appointment at 10 o'clock. And by 11:15, when I was still waiting to go in and get done, I realised that I wasn't excited anymore. I wasn't happy. I was just, it's 11:15, I have a life. I have waited an hour and a quarter. I was just like, I felt that lovely patience test coming out. And it's annoying. And when the tests come, you don't want them to come, do you? It's always like, no, I'm getting a lovely hair time with my daughter. This is a blessing. This is a good time. It's like, I don't want to do a patience test right now. But I was really getting irritated. I'm like, what is going on? Like, seriously, organize your appointment book, girl. And so I just went, right, okay. So I just said, I'm going for a walk now. And they went, okay. So I just left the salon. I walked down to the side of the lake there. Ah, Lord. I just had a little pray and I thought, okay, this is a good opportunity to exercise that patience, which I'm normally really good at, but honestly, an hour and a half after the appointment. I mean, it's not like she's doing a medical emergency here. It's a haircut. She surely knows how long it takes. I hope she's not watching. Hi. But work on it. But, you know, anyway. So, you know, you never know when God is going to ask you to yield and allow that, in this instance, patience. It was just a patience test and it was an opportunity. And it's just step by, it's just little steps at a time. Sometimes it's, you think, well, that's not a big opportunity to grow, but I'm telling you, it's step by step. It's little by little, just learning to be patient. And if you're one of those people that is regularly impatient, you might find that test comes up quite a lot. It's funny, isn't it? For the people that struggle with a particular area, the same test comes over and over again. And I sometimes say, just pass the test, get it out of the way, deal with it, you know, because it's going to keep coming up until you learn it. That's the way that God wants us to grow. So we yield to God, we yield to His Word. When we read the Word of God, it teaches us and we have to learn to obey it. The Bible says in Psalm 119:130, the entrance of your words gives light. Light. Just think of that. When you read the word, it's like light on the inside. Like, whoa. It gives understanding to the simple. So the word of God will show us how to move forward. I had a friend who enjoyed drinking and smoking when she was saved. And I spoke to her and asked her about that process because I knew that for her, for some people, it's not so hard to change some of these behaviors, but for her, it was hard. She really enjoyed drinking and smoking. She wasn't like a drunkard, but she loved her drink. And I said, so what was the process like going from, you know, to be able to stop both of those things? And she said, well, it started in the Word of God. She said, I saw what the Word said, that my body was a temple of the Holy Spirit. And she said, I knew that I was not looking after my body. I was not treating my body right. So it started there. So the Word of God, this is where you read the Word, you learn from the Word, and you go, okay, I need to humble myself to the Word. I need to yield to what it's saying. And she said, and then it was a process for her. She said, you know, sometimes it's sudden. Sometimes I hear about people that get suddenly set free. But in this instance, it was slow. So she said, I had to prepare myself at home. It meant not having alcohol in the house. She said, when we went out with friends, she said, I would think about what I was doing and where I was going. And she said, and I would take my own drinks that I really liked. I bought drinks, non-alcoholic drinks that I really liked. She said, it was physically hard. But spiritually, she said, it was exciting. And she said, I crashed every now and again, but then the Lord would give me strength. She said, there's just that moment. There's that moment of temptation. And she said, this is what she said. The Lord spoke to me. She said that temptation, it's like a wave that comes at you and you've just got to let it wash over you. And then it's like, oh, and then you're on the other side and it's okay. So she said, I had to learn to say no at that very moment rather than just going, oh, I'll just go with it. I'll just go with it. You know, I'll just catch it. It's like, no, you can let it wash over you. You can just let it go past. And it's like after a while, initially the wave seems like one of those, you know, Cyclone Alfred kind of waves. I love all the Aussies who are out there riding the wave. But initially it seems enormous and it's like, oh, it's going to drown me. I can't cope. But eventually it's just like when you're standing on the beach and it's just a little wave that rides over your feet. It's like, easy, I've got this. And she said that's what it was like. She said the Lord helped me and he gave me great ideas on how to deal with that temptation until eventually it just wasn't an issue. She said every now and again I feel it, but generally it's not an issue and she doesn't drink, she doesn't smoke. Praise the Lord. And, you know, and there's lots of stories about people just overcoming those kinds of things. I know Franklin Graham, he smoked a lot. Billy Graham's son. I mean, you know, it's no good if you're Billy Graham's son going around smoking. It's not a good look. And he struggled with it. And he said he had to actually keep a packet of cigarettes in his shirt. So it was almost like, I can live with that. And he said it was, for him, that was, there was something about, I can have it if I want, but I don't want it. It's right there, but I don't want it. It was like he just said no regularly. And then, so, you know, you just have to know how God's going to help you through, but he will in those moments of temptation. So we learn to change. And as I said, sometimes I've got a friend who had struggles with food and God delivered her overnight. She really struggled with overeating. She said one night she was crying out to God and a finger, she felt like the finger of God came down and went through her head, just pulled it out and delivered her. Now we all want that. But sometimes we have to work our way through the system. So we yield. We yield in obedience to what God is telling us to do, those areas of life that are not happy to God. Maybe you think, well, I don't drink and smoke. It's like, okay, but, you know, there's always things. None of us are perfect. We're all learning to be more gentle, kind, compassionate, self-controlled, joyful, you know, zealous for God. We need to develop a taste and love being holy. And we can get to that place where being like Jesus and being close to him and the peace that comes from that is so much more attractive than the peace that comes from a cigarette. And obviously sin is not completely horrible. Otherwise no one would do it. I mean, I've never been a smoker, but I gather that it brings relaxation, you know, for people that do it. But you have to learn, it's not just sort of, I don't want to do this and therefore I've got nothing. It's like, I prefer being right with Jesus. Holiness, remember, is beautiful and attractive. It's more fun. It's more fun. We can develop a taste for righteousness. You know, when I went as a kid, an 18-year-old, I went to Denmark and I've always had I've always liked chocolate. But when I went to Denmark, they didn't have Cadbury and I only ate these lovely European chocolates. It was good quality stuff. The Danes like their sweets, and I developed a taste for dark chocolate because when I was a child, only dads ate, remember? It was Old Gold and rum and raisin. I mean, children didn't eat that. That was for fathers, and it was disgusting. You're like, what's your chocolate? Whoa. So, you know, I didn't like that. But when I went to Denmark, they had these lovely European dark chocolate, and I developed a taste for it. I liked it. You don't think you do. And then when I came back to Australia, because I didn't have Cadbury in Denmark, and I tried Cadbury, I can remember thinking, just normal dairy milk Cadbury tasted a bit rough to me because it wasn't as smooth, not as good, not as quality. I mean, it's okay, but, you know, nothing against Cadbury. But you can develop a taste for anything. And God wants you to understand the joy and the love and the tastefulness of being holy. So we yield to God. We yield to the pastors and leaders that he gave us. This is part of growth. You are not going to grow on your own. You have a baby, put that baby out in the street and say, grow. It's not going to happen. Babies grow in families. Ephesians 4:11. Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of Man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ that we should no longer be children. He gave the church, your pastors, your apostles, your prophets, he gave them to you, to all of us, so that we can grow to be like Jesus, so that we can come to the fullness of Christ, not children. So we need each other. We need each other to point out things. We need each other to, we need to submit to one another. It's part of our journey, listening to correction sometimes. It's not necessarily pleasant, but we're not going to grow without it. So let's be sure that we're listening to that. That's another place of humility, isn't it? Another friend of mine was speaking to a young lady who had joined her church, and this lady was a yogi, which is a yoga teacher and spiritual advisor, and she was very influential. She ran classes and online classes around the world, and this was her job, her life, her exercise. It was a very big part of her world. But as she was in church and as she spoke to my friend, she pointed out that it's actually not godly because it's based, of course, on the Hindu religion. And it's spiritual. It involves demonic spirits. It's very unhealthy. And she would, they were very gentle and careful with her, you know, trying to help her to see that and see it through. But at the end of the day, as they were pointing it out to her, she had to make a choice. And it was a big choice for her because it was her livelihood. It was how she survived. But she started to realize that she had to choose between following Jesus and continuing on to be a yogi. And that's that moment. There was a point of choice. That's the moment. That's the yielding. That's the humility. Not saying, oh, well, I think I can do both or anything. She was like, okay, I will. And she rang up and said, I would like to have prayer. Here again, we see we need one another. She needed her pastors to come and pray for her. She didn't really know what she was supposed to do. But she was willing to surrender to the Lord fully and lay down her whole life to Jesus. So my friend said that they went over to pray for her and they said, you want to stop doing this work? Yes. You want to be set free? Yes. And my friend said to me, he said, oh, Ruth, there's no question in the world that that is not of God, because she started to manifest. When they prayed for her and bound that spirit, she said she manifested big time. I said, really? She goes, oh, yeah. She's like coughing and vomiting and like, whoa, like, really, her whole body was convulsing, and then she said, it's strangling me. Like, so these demons that she had allowed were literally coming out, and it can be quite full on. But that's all part. Like, if she had refused to yield to God, and it seemed quite nice, quite gentle, like, oh yeah, maybe I need to change. But she didn't realize that she had those things in her that she'd allowed in her from that spiritual practice. She didn't know that. But by yielding to God, by humbling herself to God, humbling herself to a pastor, she is set free. And that's, who wants to have those kinds of things living inside of you? That's disgusting. So we have to humble ourselves and allow ourselves to go through whatever it is that God needs to take us through to grow, whether it's, you know, a test in the hairdresser, or whether it's being delivered, or whether it's just a test of patience and waiting for things to happen in our life, or all the things that God takes us through. We have to humble ourselves and yield to it and go through it. If we can run away, we can say no to God, we can run away in pride and go no, no, or no, 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 and that's okay, but we won't grow. We won't grow. We will stunt ourselves, and I don't want that. I don't want it for myself, and I don't want it for you. I want us to be amazing, godly, noble Christians. So that's the first thing that can stunt our growth. The next one is laziness. So we might not be proud. We might go, yeah, I know I need to change, but we just don't get around to it. So the Bible speaks about diligence, to be diligent, to cooperate with God as best as we can. We can't change ourselves, but we can certainly have a go at working on things. And so the Bible speaks about diligence in 2 Peter 1:5. It says, for this reason, giving all diligence Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. 2 Peter 3:1 says, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish. So the Bible really commands us to be diligent, to not just sit back and hope it's going to happen. Oh, well, God's got to, you know, oh, well, if God wants to change me, he will. I've heard people say that. It's like he's trying right now. You know what I mean? But you've got to cooperate. And sometimes that means diligence. Sometimes it means doing something. Or perhaps there's people who just want to rely on other people around them. Well, can you just pray for me? Can you pray for me? It's like, yes. What's your scripture? Like if you, I always find it fascinating. People don't make any effort to find what the word says about their condition, but they just want someone, you make it happen. It's like, we've got to work together on this. Even Kenneth Hagin, who's one of those lovely old men of God in the healing times, he tells a story about how he used to pray for his wife. He had more faith than his wife for healing. Kenneth Hagin had a lot of faith for healing. And the wife knew that, so she's just living with this healing man of God. So pray for me, I'm sick, pray for me, I'm sick. And then one day, she was sick, and he went to bed, was quite sick. You know, it was something that needed an operation. And she said, can you pray for me? I don't want to go to hospital. I don't want to have an operation. And he said he went to pray for her, and he just felt the Holy Spirit say, no, no. And he was like, oh. And basically God was saying, I want her to rise up in faith. She needs to step up. She's relying on you all the time. So then he said, no, I'm not praying for you, but I can't just pray for you to be healed. I think God wants you to step up in your faith. She was like, oh, well, I don't have faith. Well, you must have some faith. What have you got faith for? And she goes, well, and she said, I've got faith that the doctors will do a great job in the operation. She goes, all right, let's believe for that. What else have you got faith for? She says, well, I've got faith that the recovery will be quick. She says, I don't have faith that I can just do it without the doctors. So that's okay. Let's work with where your faith is at. And so he said they prayed together that the doctors would do a fantastic job in the operation. They prayed together that the recovery would be very quick. And that's exactly what happened. That's where she was at. And that's okay. I mean, obviously we don't all get healed miraculously. I wish we did. But we just have to work with what we've got and be diligent where we're at. And they commented afterwards. The doctors said, that was a very fast recovery. We haven't seen people recover that quickly from that operation. So that, you know, you've got to have faith where you can, and you've got to put in the effort and not just rely on others. So we are diligent in every area. We're diligent in reading the Word of God. We're diligent in praying. We're diligent in coming before God, because just being in His presence transforms us. Just being with Him transforms us and makes us more beautiful in every way. So we want to be holy. We want to change. We are humbling ourselves before God. We're allowing Him to work with us. We are diligent because we're excited about this. This is important to us. It's so important to Jesus to be like Him, to be beautiful, to become holy Christians the way we're meant to be. And there's a couple of great little rewards here. One is that there are rewards in heaven for all of these things. I love that God is not afraid to inspire us with the concept of reward. And there will definitely be rewards for every little victory that we win. God sees them. The rewards aren't just for, oh, I got 50 people saved. It's like, I was patient with my 4 children. It's even harder in some ways. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, He is seeing who's like Jesus. So that's the great reward. But also, excitingly, the greatest ministry and the most effective Christians on earth are definitely the most holy. Now, we all have different gifting levels. Some people are very gifted and they do amazing things with their, you know, they might have an amazing preaching gift or amazing gift. But this is talking about holiness, and ultimately the holier you are, the more powerful and the more effective your ministry is in other people's hearts. So that's exciting as well, because we want to be effective, powerful Christians. Hallelujah. Be sanctified, be holy, be blessed, church. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you, God, We commit ourselves to the process of sanctification, to becoming better Christians, to growing. We really want to. I pray that you'd stir that desire in our hearts. We humble ourselves before you, Lord God. We make a commitment to make every effort to be diligent, to do each step as you show us what you want us to do, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
In the name, Jesus.